El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I used to write a bunch of weekly columns for a bunch of internet places, and I would use those columns to put forth all sorts of crazy opinions. And then I'd come on this show to defend those opinions. But now I don't really do any of that shit. Joining us today, he is not only one of the funniest comics working today, he's also a goddamn doctor, which means he's smarter than you. So whatever we're talking about today, just listen and don't say anything. Ladies and gentlemen, John O'Zalay also joining me. We only got the one guest today, so I have to introduce my co-host again for what feels like the 500th time. But he's a fantastic comic and my best friend in the whole world. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff May. It's going to be a great show. Hey, everybody.
Hi, Unpopular.
Welcome to Unpopular Opinion.
Yes.
Holy shit.
Holy.
We had some technical difficulties.
I like when things are technically difficult.
But when I tell people, when I always talk about needing to turn phones off, now the audience got to hear what that sounds like.
Because
it's this weird thing where it sounds like if the... I don't know what happens.
I feel
if someone's
like that
getting...
wire being close to that shit too had something to do with it. That might have created a feedback loop of metal.
It could have been.
Metal,
you
know? But I love the wire.
The Wire was such a good show. Jeff doesn't like it because Jeff's
I just don't have an opinion on
stupid.
It. I was like a little bored.
Just don't understand black culture.
Yeah, I think that's probably.
Yeah.
You just don't relate.
Correct.
So let's introduce our guests. John O'Zalay? Is that how you pronounce it? Zalay?
Zalay, yeah.
Like Dale. Yeah.
Dale!
Yeah. It's Hungarian. It's stupid.
It's what Pitbull says in his songs all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that. You are a comic from... Now, are you from Los Angeles originally?
I'm from San Diego originally.
Okay.
And then I've spent the last decade in East Coast, in Boston, where I met Jeff.
Yeah.
And then the last 5 years in New York City.
I was there when you got your fancy doctor stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Comedy. You're before like I was a comic.
You're like an actual smart person.
Yeah. What is that like?
We just
doctor?
Read a lot and pretend.
Yeah, I'm one of those fake doctors you hear about. That
he's an actual doctor.
On all my rewards cards, I'm Dr. John O'Zalay, and nowhere else.
That's fantastic.
I'm gonna bring you up if I'm hosting the show with you.
Ever.
I'm gonna be like, he's a doctor.
And I'll talk about my research past in my stand-up sometimes, but I never want to be called doctor.
Which is why I will only call.
Yeah,
you.
Yeah. I think that's basically when I quit. Like when you saw me that night, that was like the last day I ever did science.
Which was the day you got your PhD.
Yeah, because I didn't look for a job after that. I just got my PhD just to get it, you know.
Just for a little hobby.
As one does.
That's such a California person thing to do.
Yeah.
Like, well, you know, I thought about it, so I decided let's go for it. And you went up. Your parents were in the audience,
yes,
I remember.
Yes, they
and
were.
You were obliterated.
Yep.
And I'll give my impression of Jono that day. He goes, somebody asked me a question about science. Anybody? And this girl goes, what is it? And he goes, shut the fuck up. You think I don't know science? I know about science. I know more about you than science. And it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Oh, thank you kindly.
It was great.
Nice.
Yeah, that was the day I defended my dissertation, which is like a gauntlet that every PhD candidate has to go through to get their PhD, is like a bunch of more senior professors and stuff, doctors themselves, hurl questions at you until you feel like an infant that doesn't know anything. So like, you have to answer as best you can and show you have a competency in science, at least to a degree, that you know your subject and all that stuff. And so that was around noon or something. And then I started drinking the rest of the day.
Noon 02.
Yeah. It was just all cake and beer after
You're
that.
Drinking during the dissertation.
Yeah, yeah. And so I was in like a suit, my little tiara. I remember it was my special day and I went on stage. And that's, I used the F word so many times, my mom was, quote, scarred. And ever since then, it's been great because I can get her to not come to shows.
My mom's never been to one of my shows.
That's a pretty great story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff, can you tell a story also that
cool? Or
me is just me being in the crowd watching that.
Oh.
Well, Jono, sure. I mean, I don't want to put him on the spot, but Jono's actually one of the guys that influenced me to do stand-up. Like, I'd always wanted to do it, but, like, it was you and Sean Sullivan.
You know, the hardest part of this show for me is the first few minutes.
Oh, that's really rude.
Because I spend all that time asking everyone else what's going on in their life.
That's not nice.
When all I really want to do is talk about what I've been up to since last week.
It's cruel.
And that's why we call the segment This Week in Me. And it's about to get really intense. Everyone watching the live stream, if it's even working, can attest to the fact that I play this on guitar every week by myself.
Oh, it's shred.
Yeah, shred.
Do you play the drums with your feet?
I do, yeah. Yeah. And only one arm, just out of respect to the Def Leppard guy.
Out of respect for the deaf.
Yeah, I have no idea if this live stream is working or not. And if it's not, I sincerely apologize, but we have to get through this podcast.
Yeah,
this
shit's all weird.
Yeah, everything
is... Listen to it on later, you jerks. You can't have everything right now.
It's all...
kids today, they always want it right now.
What, you think just because you paid for this privilege means we're going to actually give it to you? Shut up.
But do let me take 1 second and make sure... Boy, this is a train wreck so far.
Yeah.
At least we're talking about something that nobody knows anything about.
Yeah, this is I have a little bit of my degree in this, but not enough to really count
in technical stuff.
Well, no, the what our subject is.
Oh, sure.
You know, like
we're talking about Article 5 of the Constitution.
There it is.
It's a thing. I was reading The Economist this week, not to brag, but I subscribe to The Economist. I get it on paper, like an old man.
How much does a subscription to The Economist go for?
It's like $12 a year. It's fine. Magazines
are hard to up, huh?
Yeah, because an individual issue, which before I subscribed, I had only ever bought at the airport while I was flying.
It's literally only an airport purchase.
Yeah, it's $7.99, but it's the best place to read about American politics because they don't really pick sides. They're very honest about all of it.
They're the economists, honest.
Oh, come on, Jeff.
Huh?
Don't be that way.
Huh?
Why would you be that way? So I was reading The Economist this week, and there's an article in this week's issue, or by the time this goes up, it'll be last week's issue. It's called America Might See a New Constitutional Convention in a Few Years. And then the subtitle is, If It Did, That Would Be a Dangerous Thing.
Ooh.
Whoa.
You Friday know what America loves, though? Danger.
Danger. We goddamn do. And this is a thing I had never heard of. I mean, I've heard of the Constitution, and I know there must be an Article 5 because there's several articles of the Constitution.
I read the Constitution exclusively for the articles.
I just read it for baiting.
I'm baiting. Article 5, basically, it was introduced by NCAA tournament darling George Mason.
Ah, with their little green outfit.
They were like a 13 seed. They made it all the way to the Final Four or something like that.
Cinderella team.
I loved them until they made America almost propose this horrible idea.
Yeah, their founder, this was his idea. When we were first drafting the Constitution, he had the idea that... With the system we use normally to propose new amendments is we have to get 3/4 of the states to agree to even consider it before we push further. And then there's more from there that have to ratify it, I believe. And he was like, well, what if the government ever becomes oppressive in some way? They're not likely to go against the president. So we should have a way for the states to do it, too. And that's what Article 5 is. Under Article 5, if 2/3 of the states call for a new constitutional convention, then we have to hold one.
It almost sounds like a larger political version of like the 9th and 10th Amendments, like the states' rights versus federal rights. But in like a we can fuck off
situation. Can blow this whole thing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, I know it says it would be a bad thing, but like, in theory, before we get into in practice, like, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Because an oppressive government can sure as shit show up. Now, I don't think they knew that George Mason wasn't predicting 50 states as much as no one was predicting George Mason would make the Final Four. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, that, I mean, it's, I mean, they didn't predict it, but again, all these arcane checks and balances that were designed to prevent a situation like we have now have failed us. Like the, you know, Electoral College could have potentially intervened and made us not in this situation right now. But
you know what it comes to a lot is like nobody could have predicted TV and the internet. Like it's just a thing, or like that people would be like that. Like there's the cult of what's been going on lately, and it's a cult, like the cult of sort of false information, and I hate saying fake news, but like having that put itself out there, where there's so many people that just are like, you know what, I drank the Kool-Aid and it's delicious.
for sure. The idea, the only thing you can predict about the future is how humans will exploit it for their own personal gain. Like think about it, like everyone knows that robots are eventually coming. And do you know, like, the first thing that people are going to do with robots is have sex with them?
Oh, that's for
the
sure.
I don't know what all the sex robots, how...
Even if that's
them.
Not what the robots are for.
Oh, no, yeah, of course. Every robot will be a sex robot.
I'm a technophiliac, actually.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, there's certain things you can predict in the failings of humanity.
Yeah.
And
fucking.
Yeah.
Straight fucking.
Humans are horny more than they're smart.
Yeah. For sure.
So that's one thing to account for.
That'll be the good. I mean, that's the rot. You know, you'll get Daryl Hannah and Blade Runner, like the pleasure, pleasure model that's gonna fucking freak out. You'll see it.
So the thing that's interesting about that, this is what Article 5 really is a good reason to vote in midterm elections.
Oh God, yeah.
Especially the midterm elections that are coming up now or next year, because there are groups. This is Article 5 is a thing we've never used. There have been a bunch of different attempts. At one point in the 60s, even, I think it was Arkansas.
It was Arkansas.
Tried to call an Article 5 convention just to propose an amendment to do away with Article 5, which that's kind of funny. That would have been.
Yeah.
Like, did you see Chris Johnson who was the running back for the Arizona Cardinals? Just tweeted a couple weeks ago that Adrian Peterson should be getting more touches, and the Cardinals released Chris Johnson and signed Adrian Peterson.
Seriously?
Yeah. So that would have been...
That just happened?
Yeah, it happened today. Yeah. The Cardinals signed Adrian Peterson.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Man, I should pick him up in fantasy.
Recording again. Let's just try and power through this at this point. This is going to be like a 40-minute
What are you,
episode.
My wife?
So, there's a group called the Balanced Budget Amendment Task Force that right now is pushing to try and get one of these constitutional conventions called. And the good news is that they don't have a lot of money. They got $43,000 in donations in 2015. But they do have 27 different states already on board with the idea.
That's the most efficient use of money I could possibly imagine.
It sure is.
What, did they win $1 million in a slot machine to be able to pay for something like this?
And as luck would have it, I put luck in quotes there, everybody. There are 7 states that haven't called for a convention yet, but are controlled by Republicans in both houses of the legislature. And those states are Idaho, Kentucky, Minnesota, Montana, South Carolina, Virginia, and Wisconsin. Come on, Wisconsin.
I feel like Minnesota and Wisconsin are like right on the cusp of making a shift.
Minnesota is literally the only state that didn't go for Reagan in 84. So they definitely have it in them.
Huh. Yeah. The only state.
Yeah, because that's where Mondale was from.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just
Mondale, man.
So that's just a reminder, vote in the midterm elections, because if these states, the earliest anyone could call this is 2019, because Montana is one of those states and they haven't signed on yet. And their legislature doesn't convene again until 2019, which seems like a long fucking time from now.
So their state legislature just gets a year off?
No, they've started walking to the courthouse just now, and they all get there. It'll
they're
be the same.
Snowed in until
they, their oxen have become ill.
It's
and
technically called a fellowship, I believe, when they get there. And
so on their website, they have a bunch of different quotes. This is one of them. "I wish it were possible to obtain a single amendment taking from the federal government the power of borrowing." And Thomas Jefferson said that. So I guess that one looks fine on paper. He's someone we've forgiven his faults, I guess.
So they
maybe?
Well,
no.
I think overall he has a net positive impact on the world, despite being a potentially monstrous person to his
slave.
Also, yeah, slaves and probably others. I wasn't going to limit it to
slaves. Say like he was like probably autistic or something like that. Like most people think that he was
he had
pretty spectrum-y.
Yeah.
As far as he also had
This is another quote from their website. "The Congress knows that the people want more fiscal responsibility, but it is unwilling to oblige it. If the only way to clarify the law, if the only way to remove us from the utter bondage of Congress is to take what I think to be a minimal risk on this limited convention, then let's take it." And that's Antonin Scalia. And that's such a drop off in quality when it comes to quotes.
I am really glad he's dead.
Yeah, he's super dead.
I'm super into that.
He's retired, bitch.
That's one way to put it. So,
and this group is trying to get this going specifically to balance the budget.
Right.
I mean, is it specifically to balance the budget or is it to balance the budget?
Yeah. I mean, bet they actually do want to balance the budget, but like everyone else is thinking, like, yeah, we'll all just balance the budget.
It's a moral budget.
And then we'll balance everyone's butthole by not allowing dicks in it because gays are illegal now.
Well, that's one of the concerns people have is a runaway convention where because this has never been done, there's no fucking rules that apply to it. There's no precedent that's ever been sent.
It's just going to be a voted civil war.
Right. So they 2/3 of the states could call this and the rest of the states could show up and go, okay, we're arguing for everything now. And even if that didn't happen, these 2/3 of the states could get together and go, well, we're here for the budget, but how about we talk guns and abortion and things like
that?
Right.
Yeah.
And there's nothing on the books that says they can't do that. It's just kind of an honor system thing.
It's the Air Bud rule. There's nothing on the rule that says you can't outlaw abortion
by a dog.
Right, dogbortion.
DOGOBGYN.
This is the Air Bud Convention.
So here's a look at the Balanced Budget Amendment Task Force. You'll notice something about them.
They look like a bunch of fucking jerks. Like
yeah.
A bunch of jerk bank managers.
And
old white people.
Whole bunch of old white people, and then Bryce and Kylie at the bottom there.
Of course their names are Bryce and Kylie. Of fucking course.
Bryce Christensen and Kylie Williamson. So
yes.
Definitely the whitest.
Couple of Nordic.
Yeah, the Scandinavian descent, white.
Wait, one's just a drawing. Go back down.
Yeah, the one looks like a police sketch.
Yes.
Stu
McPhail. His name is McPhail.
I refuse to be photographed by your wizardry.
However, I will be keeping my high school nickname of McPhail.
Oh, yeah.
His name is Stu McPhail.
Oh, boy.
Stu McPhail. That is so great.
Like, and Biff gave him that nickname.
You know, hopefully he does McPhail. Oh my God, guys.
You are right.
I hope he stews in it.
I agree.
But so that's good that they're kind of a low budget, loosely run organization. That's comforting. But then there's also the Convention of States, which despite having, I would argue, a less impressive website. Well, maybe not. There's
no,
they
have graphics.
Yeah, they.
Those are just pictures of jerks at the last website.
Oh, I went specifically to the Balanced Budget Amendment Task Force team page, Jeff. For one thing, there's no running counter of the national debt on the Constitution of States website.
That is impressive.
So there is that. But the thing with this group, it's led by a former Tea Party activist, and we know those motherfuckers get
they're great.
Shit done.
They're great.
Organized.
Yeah.
That's the worst part about them.
Yep. It's definitely the worst part about
Ted Cruz is a thing.
I mean, religion would be fine if they weren't so organized. Those organized religions.
Yeah, it is a lot of times just the organization part.
Yeah.
They passed their first resolution in 2014, but they have grown quickly since then. They have better funding than the BBATF, and they have 2.2 million volunteers. Their advisors include influential former Republican Senators Jim DeMint and Tom Coburn, and they're calling for amendments on three topics: balanced budget, limiting the federal government's power, and establishing term limits for Congress.
I like that last part.
So, even like on paper, these all sound like reasonable things. The same kind of reasonable things that every Republican has run on and then went hog wild once they got in.
Right.
Yeah, it's like somebody in a monster movie being like, unlock the door so the pizza can get delivered. Like, there are other things outside other than the pizza.
All I'm nominating is a Trojan horse. I promise there's nothing inside of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I mean, that's pretty much the concern, is that this is something that, and also that they're using kind of coded language there when they say balanced budget, because a lot of what that means is, well, we spend too much money
on education,
giving hungry kids breakfast before school.
Yeah.
And things like that. And that's not what the government should be doing.
And like limiting federal powers, and like, no one can tell me I can't outlaw abortion in my state.
Right. Or nobody can tell me I can't dump toxic waste in a river.
Yes.
It's a river.
It's very, yeah. It is my river. Very, my taxes pay for this river.
Yeah.
It's very, I hate to use the phrase, but it is very libertarian in ideals of like, we can just remove the stuff individuals don't want to pay for.
Right.
It's like, well, what the fuck, man?
No one wants to pay for anything.
Well, why should we have to pay for schools? We're not in school.
Yeah.
Like that fucking what?
We have a comment we'll get to at the end of this that addresses that. I had to talk to a commenter today.
Oh,
on the Patreon.
On a side note, I was at a budgetary meeting for my town because I was when I was teaching, and one guy voted because he wanted to defund something for like the kindergartners, to like remove a thing. And so this other lady in the town, like this old lady, was like, you're a scumbag. And I was like at this like really like small town meeting, and it was a very sort of like that beginning of Field of Dreams where they people start yelling at each other. I was like, this is good. I'm glad I came to this.
Nice old lady.
So the Convention of States, they actually did a simulated Article 5 convention. They did this in September of 2016.
Nerds.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. And
like they definitely have weird anime porn.
This is our model UN.
Yeah.
This is a video from the simulated convention. Here we go.
Commissioners from all 50 states have come here
for the first ever simulated convention.
I like that it's presented like a football video.
Left unchecked, government expands limitlessly.
I wonder how many people there aren't white.
These people are tired of federal overreach.
We've been going back and forth. We've been debating amendments.
Yeah, the diversity in this
one. I saw one.
Staggering.
The winds of change are about to blow.
I can see.
And by that, we mean changing back to how things used to be in the 50s.
I saw one woman that may have been Filipino.
The fact that everyone is just
extraordinary thing in my career,
talking like really like, because they all obviously agree about all these topics,
right?
None of us have ever seen
the idea that there wouldn't be someone like yelling.
Yeah, it would be total fucking chaos.
The process
actually works.
The very idea.
The first Constitutional Convention.
Patrick Henry.
Oh.
Jefferson.
Ben Franklin showed up. That's nice.
Oh, they cosplay at these conventions.
That has
convention cosplay culture now.
Yeah,
and excitement.
It's awesome.
You know, it used to be all about the convention writers and artists, and now it's all about the people cosplaying.
Now it's time for us to be leaders among leaders.
We're going to save our nation.
I bet there was a lot of con sex going on here.
Did they like? They must. Did they script out all these sound bites?
This is what
they must
have.
You have proven that the people of the United States are ready to hold.
Also,
the first
don't forget
Article
to validate your parking, or else you're gonna have to pay the hotel's daily $27 charge, and you don't want to do that.
Probably our last best hope of preserving liberty for the next generation.
This freedom is a simulation.
Is what's at stake. Self-government and freedom are the outcomes.
Gross. When you this have is a simulation as much as like a Civil War reenactment.
Exactly.
Like, unless there's actually limbs being sawed off on a battlefield, it's not a real Civil War battle.
Yeah, that's
and it's the same thing here. Like, you think, I was like, Well, now that we're all like-minded people and we'll pass all the laws we've all previously agreed on, we'll just have a very civil conversation about the future of states' rights.
It works.
Yeah, nope. They...
No, it does not.
Yeah, one thing they're not taking into account is that if they don't put some limits on what the convention is about, then Democrats could just as easily show up and start trying to push stuff of their own. And then would that even be a good thing? Because then you have the Democrats and the Republicans like negotiating for shit. And they're like, okay, we won't give poor people breakfast if you'll be nicer to the immigrants.
Right.
And it's like, then we're just deciding who gets killed and who doesn't.
Right.
Basically.
I would like breakfast.
I want breakfast.
So, I mean, they could just start the convention with parameters, meaning like we can only vote on this one amendment or one change, which is the balanced budget thing.
That's the thing that they're hoping to use to get it through is that no, we'll just put these limits on
it. That sets a precedent.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing. Like once you set that precedent and it's enacted, you know, you now have an open door.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Jono said, it's a Trojan horse.
Yeah.
And they could also go in and one of the things they push is that, oh, we actually need like a quarter of the states to approve all this. That's a new rule now because there's no limits on what people can do with
clauses.
And these are from that fantasy simulation convention that they did in September. These are the changes that came out of that. I mean, obviously, these aren't going to be put into practice. But the public debt shall not be increased except upon a recorded vote of 2/3 of each House of Congress. Term limits on Congress. Limiting federal overreach by returning the Commerce Clause to its original meaning, which...
Sure.
Know. Whatever that is, I'm sure it's bad.
You have to pay in like ham and salt.
Yeah, it's what you pay for slaves.
Yeah.
Or something. It was a slavery regulation and it was fine and everyone agreed.
States' rights issue.
Yeah.
Limiting the power of federal regulations by giving an easy congressional override, which that should worry people.
Easy.
The fact they're using qualifiers like easy.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're fucking
they're
talking
wearing
about.
Shades.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
Guy's in a suit jacket with a bathing suit. He's like, it's easy, baby.
Yeah. That's such a wink in there. It's like, oh, it'll be easy.
Require a supermajority for federal taxes and repeal the 16th Amendment.
That's the slavery one.
I believe so, yeah.
It was part of the... There was like... I think the 15th was technically the slavery. It was like 13th.
13th Amendment 13th was the slavery,
slavery
one.
And then 14th, 15th were in the same thing.
They were
What is the 16th Amendment now?
I am not 100% sure, but we can find out. Yeah, the 13th Amendment is what freed the slaves and gave us our current problem with private prisons.
The Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes on incomes from whatever source derived.
Oh, they want to repeal income tax.
Yeah.
Oh, so you want to not live in a country.
Right, yeah.
That's what you want. Okay, that's fine.
And give the states by 3/5 vote the power to abrogate any federal law, regulation, or executive order.
So, meaning the states have power over the federal government.
Yeah. That
if they're all controlled by the same party. That's no.
That's bad times.
No.
Yeah. That's no. So what he's saying, this basically did is took George Mason's thing where he's like, what if the government becomes oppressive? And they're saying, oh, what if we can just become oppressive instead?
Yeah, well, the other part of that, too, is like, you know, there was just an email chain with all these people before they got there.
Right.
Like, this is not like a thing, like, these are the things we're going to come up with. Not abortion's illegal, only cops have guns, or like, yeah. or whatever they've decided. Like, you can't. Of course, this is the on paper stuff that they came up with because they came up with it.
Yeah, and it's the runaway convention thing that's also keeping Republicans kind of not on board with it. So there is that.
But there's never been a Republican legislature that's balanced a budget like on the federal level, at least. Like the tax plan they're currently proposing would inflate the deficit by like $2 trillion or something.
Right.
But hey, at least rich people get richer, right?
Hey.
And when I say this has never been done before, it has been tried, and it almost happened while Reagan was president. I think by 1982, they had 32 of the 34 states that they needed to call this convention, and it was just down to California and Montana, I think.
And guess who was born in 1982?
Right?
In California. You're welcome, world.
But the two states that tried to get the to sign on as the last two states, somehow those states voted that was unconstitutional. Ooh, and then
McCain-dom.
And then like the John Birch Society and all these other conservative groups jumped in to also fight it. And then, of course, under Clinton, we had a budget surplus, which really takes your the wind out of your sails if you're pushing a balanced budget amendment.
Exactly.
But it was when Bush came back in office and the budget shot, the deficit shot way back up that
why?
Caused, yeah, I don't know why. So it's weird because it's obviously a Republican era thing that brought this problem back. But this is also very much a conservative Republican push right now to try and fix it. And I'm sure it's Obama's fault somehow. It's got to be his fault somehow.
Droning mosques is not cheap.
Oh.
What?
I found it's pretty cost effective if you do it on a
Yeah, I mean, there's
budget.
A lot less manpower involved.
And... Yeah, you can GoPro it.
Those things are really, really strong.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, GoPros, I only want to see GoPro videos now if something dies or gets injured at the end. Because I've seen enough videos of like, oh, we strapped a GoPro to a hawk. And it's like,
I like that.
Have you ever seen the click hole video? It's called the title is just We Strapped a GoPro to a Sparrow. And the video is just the bird falling over. Like from the vantage point of the GoPro, it just falls over. And then you hear like these flapping noises as it tries to fly.
It can't fly with it. Yeah. It's too big. That's hilarious.
I don't think they actually strapped.
No.
They're so good.
Yeah, they are.
Those people at The Onion are consistently knocking it out of the park.
Yeah.
They will.
Did you know they started a third website also that just fucking...
It was the celebrity one.
Starwipe.
Starwipe.
And that one just...
No one cared.
Died.
Well, it was like supposed to be like the TMZ style thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah, they can like put that on the umbrella of Clickhole or
The Onion. Yeah.
So let's get to comments because the comments this week do kind of tie into what we're talking about anyway. And we're getting close to 7 o'clock. I don't know how long this episode is going to be.
After it's all edited down, 22 minutes.
22 minutes. We had massive technical difficulties and we apologize, but at least you can't hear them. At least it doesn't sound like the garbage can episode we did a couple months ago. God, it's that Robert the Doll we got recently. Anyway, let's do comments. You know, it's a big world out there.
It's easy
to feel like the things you say don't even matter. But I want you to know, that's not true. We call this segment, Your Voice Matters. Stop it, Jeff. Where we read your stupid fucking comments from the past few shows and respond to them personally.
Fade it out, Brett.
Yeah. I wonder if Danger's here already. It's possible. All right. So,
J. Edgar on SoundCloud goes, slow down on the bro down. Soccer's definitely way cooler than baseball, he said with nobody agreeing at all.
Yeah.
So cool. We didn't even join the World Cup. We're boycotting it because it was too fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was watching ESPN today, and there was one guy in particular who kept popping up, freaking out about how American schools need better access to soccer equipment. It's like, that is so far down
the
list.
Yeah. You mean a ball?
The one sport that's so universal around the world that even third world countries can just play at any time, anywhere.
And even if not, you can just fashion something into a ball until you save up to get a real ball.
When I was a coach, here was all my equipment. I had cones and some balls.
Yeah. That's it.
That was it. That was really the whole thing. And a net bag to hold the balls.
But you can just bring like a laundry bag.
I could have. Yeah. Double. It was like a net bag.
Double them up. So, yeah, man, I'm sorry, but soccer is definitely not way cooler. And how funny is it that we didn't make it?
This is really funny.
Yeah. I mean, we lost to Trinidad and Tobago in a half empty stadium. Did you see that? That was hilarious. Like,
So it's any soccer? Was it in America? Where was it?
It was in Trinidad and Tobago, where you'd think they would care about it.
Are there enough people?
I mean, the thing is, it might have been like ravaged by whatever hurricane.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to like speculate as to why they might have been doing other things.
Mango season.
I respect Trinidad and Tobago, and that's I would have been prepared when facing them, not unlike the American men's team.
Right? Was this was like when the USA basketball team started getting their asses kicked by like Spain and shit.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like enough. Like we like finished third or like out of the medal contention in like 2004.
Trying
like,
to globetrot our
okay,
way to
fine.
Basketball.
Okay, fine. LeBron, you're on the team again.
Benjamin Nelson, this is from Patreon, the Patreon comments. Benjamin Nelson says, wait, is this the first podcast since the split where you've been able to have people from Cracked? If so, that's awesome. How did that come about? I don't know what he's talking about.
No, that's not a thing.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, Robert Evans from Cracked was on last week. And
yeah, how did this come about? We posted a thing, he commented it, and we said yes.
Yeah, he said, I would love to do it. And we said, okay, Robert Evans, you do it. I don't know what the big deal is. This is a two-parter. This is Tony Lang. Sorry in advance, Josh Denny. I hate to say this, but man, Josh is a real piece of shit when it comes to funding schools. His attitude is the reason why so many schools are underfunded, and he is definitely part of the problem. I hope he reevaluates and realizes you can't have a great community without everyone chipping in.
I mean, I told him to go fuck himself when he said that, so right. You know where I stand on it.
And this was a user named Nyrock replied to Tony Lang's comment and said, why does it make someone a piece of shit if they don't have kids and don't want to pay for other people's kids? It'd be interesting to see a change in taxes so that the people with children pay a tax that goes to funding the schools their children go to. I'm not saying it's a good idea.
Because it's not a good idea.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just saying, already conceding.
I'm just saying that a family with three kids puts more of a strain on school funding than a guy without any kids, but they both get taxed for it. You're right. You can't have a great community without everyone chipping in. Why can't the community just be parents in this example?
That's fuck
horrendous.
You.
Horrendous. That's a terrible
dude, what
idea.
A shitty thought to have.
And what I told him, I replied on Patreon, and it's like, if you want to go down that road, then fine. If you're a single person, you pay significantly more taxes to buy a car. Because if that's how community works, driving to work is a luxury. It's definitely not a right. If having kids isn't a right, driving to work isn't a right.
And also because your taxes have to go to the roads. People that don't have cars are using those roads much less.
Yeah. How about black people don't have to pay for police because they're constantly shot by them?
Yeah.
That's fair.
Or
why not?
If you own a gun and call the police for protection, you got to pay taxes to the police.
If you have
for
a hose,
to help.
Put out your own goddamn fires.
If you're single and your house burns down and it's bigger than one bedroom, you have to pay extra taxes. We're not subsidizing your need for extra space, motherfucker.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, there like, it is.
I mean, yeah, the a la carte tax arguments are so stupid.
They're the most short-sighted, and it's the if you want to meet the person who's the most selfish you can meet, it's those people.
Yeah.
And like that is the most selfish argument you can imagine. And it's about building a terrible country. It's putting your own individual specific need. You're like, how come I can't set this up for how it would benefit me the most?
Right.
And it's like, okay, well then move to a fucking place where that's a thing. Because this is America, pal.
Yeah.
Love it or leave it.
Love it or leave it.
Fly in the stars and stars. Like Hulk Hogan in the 80s.
All right, we should get out of here. We have to record another one of these in 8 minutes. Goddamn.
8 minutes.
Goddamn government.
Fucking Obama. What do we have to plug before we get out of here besides October 28th? Come to our live podcast at the Hollywood Hotel.
Jeez.
And come to The Darkest Hour. That's back in November, the second Friday of the month at Westside Comedy Theater, 11:30 p.m.
Mint on Card is the second Friday of every month. So I would be looking at the date, but I turned my phone off. But the next date's in November. It's like probably the 10th or the 9th or something like that. I don't even know. I'm not a smart person. Last month's October show was fantastic. Jono, you were on it. Tell me how great it was.
Oh, so great.
It was so great. It's free. We get a food truck. The whole thing's a real blast. So come on down. Blast from the past. Magnolia and Burbank. And if you can donate to CareRescueLA at PayPal.com, at gmail.com on PayPal, please do. Put on pops in the comments.
Jono, what do you got to plug?
Oh, I guess just my Twitter and at Jono Zalay, JonoZalay. And I got shows. I'll retweet the links.
All right.
All right.
Oh, I have a podcast, actually. If you're a San Diego or former San Diego sports fan, I have a new podcast called Fuck the Chargers, because they abandoned our hometown and moved
to
here.
To be closer to you.
Yeah. Well, they're not going to enjoy that decision, because I am going to fuck them.
Fuck the Chargers.
Yeah. Is this like a mission?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm trying to undermine them as much as possible.
I thought you were going to try to have sex with every member of the Chargers.
He's going to Munich them with sex.
I mean, if that's what it takes.
Mm. All right, let's get the fuck out of here. Jono, say goodbye.
Bye.
Jeff, say goodbye.
You get the Jono Zelay rookie card, everyone.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you. Bristol Street, I'm not.